Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Great Sunday. We have been on this series called Spheres. I want to read. I know that you were standing for a while, but why don't we just stand one more time as I read God's word. You don't have to read it with me, but sometimes it's just changing your body. It gets us a little bit of a different focus. Colossians 1:15-20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. Actually, it's on the screen. If you want to say it with me, you can, but you don't have to. But you could if you want to. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. Can you say that one more time? Reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And then 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us, can you say that? Has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Can you say all things? And committed to us. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Jesus, would you quicken my heart to your words? Put your hand on your head. Say, God, would you quicken my mind to be attentive to your word and to your voice? Change me by your word and your presence today. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, have a seat. Oh, we have been on this series. If you're joining us for the first time, the series is called Spheres. If you've been here over the last couple weeks, it's still called Spheres. But it's about bridging the gap between Sunday and Monday. In other words, we can come in like this on a Sunday and experience a reality of God's presence. God's presence is here in this room. For some, it's more real than others. Some is kind of like, oh, I'm just here, and I don't know, and like, what's all the hands raising, and what's all that sound, and the music, you know, I don't know. But you know what? God's presence is here. And we experience God's presence. We might experience, really, just, and then filling, we might come, you know, after Sunday, we might come out, it's just like, man, I just feel refreshed, I feel hopeful, I feel more ready for the week, I feel like all the heavy stuff I brought in is not there anymore, and this is all good. But the thing we want to understand, or the thing we want to be able to connect the dots with better is, how does that carry into our Monday? Or maybe like Wednesday, if, you know, you're feeling like, oh man, God's with me. You know, Sunday afternoon is great. Monday is great. Tuesday's great. And by Wednesday, it's like, oh, I feel so drained. I need to get to church again. I don't know if that's you. That's been my experience at different times. So how do we connect this? How does our faith impact all of our life? How does it reframe everything about our life? This scripture that we read in Colossians, all things. How does my faith reshape all of my life? See, this was the way the early church, the early Christians, the followers of Jesus, their faith in many ways was a very different way of understanding than how our North American, Western, 21st century, civilized, post-enlightenment understanding of life understands faith and what it means to be a Christian or to follow Jesus. In fact, if you read the Bible, the term Christian was actually a derogatory term given to the early followers. That wasn't something they called themselves. Everybody else called them that. And it was derogatory because they didn't know what to call them. They weren't Jews, but they were, But they weren't like all the other Jews. Something was different. We don't know what to call you. You're those Christ-like. You're those little Christs. That's what that literally means. And see, for the early church, the early followers of Jesus, they weren't being persecuted and put in prison and killed because a sins forgiven, ticket to heaven when I die kind of experience. They were being put in prison. They were being persecuted. They were being killed because the gospel message they were proclaiming was this: there is a new king that's come to earth, and it's not Caesar. Gospel was not a church word. The word gospel was a word used in the Roman culture. And that word evangelion, what it really meant, it was a herald that would go into all of the cities and the towns and the countryside before Caesar would arrive. And they would say, the good news is here. Caesar is arriving. The king is arriving to your little tiny village or whatever it was. And so the gospel, according to Jesus Christ, was that there was a new king. He's the king. God is a king. And there is a new kingdom that is arriving now on earth. There's a new way of being. There's a new way of being human. There's a new way of doing life. That was the message that challenged the Roman culture, the culture, the Greek culture of that time. That's what was getting them put in prison, because you did not say there is another king. Caesar was it. Caesar was considered a god. Every Caesar, whatever his name was, every Caesar that would come in, they thought it was, he was a representation of the Roman gods on earth at that time. So you were not put in prison, you were not killed, you were not losing your life, you were not being eaten by lions because you had a Jesus forgave me of my sins and I can go to heaven when I die kind of faith. That's not what their faith was. That wasn't the invitation of Jesus, not only to his disciples, but to you and I. Unfortunately, it's become a half-baked message in the Christian world for too long, because the church, for a lot of reasons, it's lost its original understanding of the bigger story. And this is what we're digging into. This is this verse in Colossians. How do we close the gap between Sunday and Monday? Well, it's this, Colossians 1:20. Through him, God was reconciling all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Can you say all things again? All things, not just so-called spiritual things. All things seen. Trees, animals, governments, natural resources. That's part of the seen things. The unseen things, sound waves, electricity, quantum energy, thoughts, spiritual powers, all things. Say it again. All things seen, all things unseen. In fact, Jesus was so concerned about all things that he gave up his majesty and glory as God in order to be birthed as a human, pooping his diapers, puking, needing to have somebody. It's mind-boggling if you think about it, that the hands that created the universe wouldn't even function on their own for the first few weeks of life. How bizarre would that be to be God in the flesh, hey? But Jesus was so concerned about all things that he came to earth, fully God, fully man, to be born as a human, to live among us and then be killed by the people he came to rescue. He would give his life as a ransom, scripture tells us, in order to reconcile all things to himself. Say it again. All things. All things. God has reconciled. What does that actually mean? Reconciled, if you're a bookkeeper, it makes sense. You want to reconcile your accounts. You want to make sure everything is balanced properly. You want to make sure that what went out, the right amount has come back in, or what's come in, it goes out. Everything's reconciled. You want to make sure the ledger says what it's supposed to be. There's peace in those numbers. Well, reconciliation, reconcile, it literally means to make peace. That word is a word that Mike introduced last week, to make shalom. If you watch The Chosen, shalom, shalom. I actually think it's kind of cool. Shalom. What is shalom? Shalom, it's a word that is so much greater than just peace, calm, like all that. No, it means harmony. It means completeness. It means a fullness. It means flourishing. It means wholeness. It's shalom really means the way God intended things to be. How creation was meant to be. All of the relationships between God and man to each other, man and himself, and man with creation, all of that works together in a specific way that God designed it to work. Now, I love this. Mark Green, an author who wrote the book Fruitfulness on the Front Lines, he said this. He said, Jesus' sacrifice is not only intended to offer every human being the opportunity for reconciliation with him, but to reconcile all things, all matter, the entire cosmos to himself. His work on the cross serves to begin to bring all things back into proper relationship with him, to see everything functioning the way it was meant to be. Now, is this what we see in our day-to-day world? No, not even close. Maybe some places we do. We see flourishing when families, man, even today, I mean, now we live in a society, we live in a world where it's a pretty amazing thing when you're having children populating the earth, flourishing. We see it in pockets where forgiveness is given, where grace is extended, where joy is happening. We see it in a morning like this. We see it in our gathering, our corporate gathering as God's church. We see it when we're worshiping together. That is a pocket. It's like a pocket of heaven. When we gather on a Sunday, this is more than just the thing that we do and the thing that good people do, or the thing that we do because we're a good Christian or a good follower of Jesus, or we want to see our friends. So when we come together, this space in here, what we're doing in worshiping God, that is a picture of the way life is meant to be. Not that heaven will be an eternal song fest to Jesus. That's not it at all. But the unitedness of God's church, the unity of our church, the unity of God's people. Like Revelation says, all different tribes and tongues, we're all together confessing and singing together in unity. That is a beautiful thing. But 2 Corinthians, this is where we come in. When we don't see this shalom, this is where we come in. 2 Corinthians 5, I'll read these verses we read at the beginning again. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, this word reconciliation, it's actually priestly language. In the Old Testament, in the Bible that Jesus would have used, the Jews would have been familiar with the role of the priest. If you're Catholic, you have a certain idea of what a priest did. It's sort of like the original priest, not very much like it though, but they're not killing animals and making sacrifices like the Old Testament priests. But the priests had a very important role. The priests represented the people before God. And they had certain activities, certain work that they did. Some of it involved sacrifices. Some of it involved certain types of rituals and routines that they did. And all of this work was meant to cleanse, to provide a temporary cleansing of God's people, of things, of spaces, so that God could come and be with his people. This is what set God's people apart from all the other nations. Because all these other nations, all the other foreign nations around ancient Israel, their gods were far off somewhere else. They were gods that you needed to appease. They were gods that you needed to do a whole bunch of horrible things. They were gods you needed to bring and kill your children and offer them as a human sacrifice in order for it to rain for the next 2 months for your crops to flourish. These were gods who were not very consistent in any way. They were gods you never knew what was going on. Am I working hard enough? Are we doing this enough? What do we need to do? But God, so much different. He wasn't a God far off. He was a God that even though humanity had chosen everything else but him, God still wanted to be with his people. And so he wanted to find a way to be with them. And this was the role of the priests. They would create these like clean spaces where it was good, where God's presence could come and people could still experience the presence of God and know that he had not given up on the human race. It was a temporary peace or temporary shalom, but Jesus' death changed all of that. Look at the Colossians verse, having made peace through the blood of his cross. I love what the Voice translation. It says, Jesus, he bled peace into the world. In other words, Jesus bled shalom into the world. He bled forgiveness. He bled wholeness. He bled completeness. He bled peace. He bled all of this. And this is what we receive when we say yes to the gift of salvation, of following Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, it means my sins are forgiven. It means I can have completeness and wholeness in my life. I can have a sense of peace. I don't have to be ruled by anxiety. Hello. I don't have to be ruled by fear of the future. Now, do we live in that perfection all the time? No, because we are a work in progress. But this is what Jesus came to give us. And here's the thing. While our personal relationship with Jesus is absolutely important, that personal thing, that personal relationship with Jesus can quickly become an inward, self-focused experience if we don't allow our lives to be caught up in Jesus' bigger story, the mission that he came to earth for, a mission that involved reconciling all things to himself. And a mission he now continues through his church. It's just like the song that we were singing earlier this morning. We were surrendered. We are your people. We are your church. God sets us apart to represent him. God is reconciling all things to himself. God's shalom is meant to come through us. Can you say that? God's shalom is meant to come through me. Is meant to come through us. See, salvation was always about creation regained. It was never just about the salvation of humans. Why did Jesus come to save us, to save humans, to release forgiveness? So that we could now be free to join him in his work, in his mission of bringing this shalom, of restoring all things to himself. That's what it means to be saved. That's what salvation is all about. If salvation just stops with you and your life being better and your life being blessed, you are probably not saved. Because that's not what Jesus came to offer. Jesus didn't say, take me as your Savior so that you can live forever with me in heaven. His invitation was, come follow me. Join me on my mission, because now I'm going to carry out this mission of reconciling all things to myself. You are now my body. You, church, are my hands, my feet, my mouth, my heart for the world. It's going to come through you now. No, we can't do this in our own. This isn't something we just work up and try harder. This is the Spirit of God living in us. And it's the Spirit, God's life that we receive when we say yes to following Jesus. Colossians 1:20, he reconciled all things to himself. 2 Corinthians 5:18, he has given us this ministry of reconciliation. Now, Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, he describes it this way, 1 Peter 2:9. He said, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Everyone say, I am a royal priest. I am a royal priest, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, royal priests are what humans were originally created to be. We don't have time to go into it. We preached about it in previous messages. You can go look on Garden City or something like that. We've talked about lots of different times. But if you look at the whole Genesis 1, 2, and 3, that whole creation story, it's temple language. God made this beautiful temple called creation. Eden was this temple environment. And instead of the temples at the time, what they would have is they would have an idol in the temple that represented the god of that area. In God's creation, in Eden, in God's temple, guess who the icon or the representation of God was? It was us. It was us humans. That's what it means to be made in God's image. We're made to reflect who God is into our world. That's originally what we were supposed to be, but our selfishness, Genesis 3, we blew all that. We chose knowledge of good and evil. We chose our way instead of God's way. God, everything fell apart, and God has been on this mission to restore it, which is what he did in Jesus. I think that should be very exciting and something we should get very happy about. Jesus restored it. Yeah. Thank you. We should get excited. Jesus restored it. He restored it all. As priests, they were to protect the temple from any corruption. We did not do that. We let a snake into the temple. And to lead others into worship of the one true God. As kings, this is the royal part of the royal priests, they were to promote the welfare of others and the rest of creation by ruling as God's vice regents, his assistant rulers. As priest kings then, this is what humans were to do. They were to lovingly serve God, others, and the rest of creation. We are God's royal priests. We are meant to carry on the mission of Jesus in our world. Royal priests reconcile. Now, how do we do this? Well, what does reconciling look like? Does it mean going to work and having a big reconciliation ceremony where you get this party to come and repent to that one and that party to repent to that one? We're all forgiven and we're nice. Or we write out a big list of 90 whatever some things and say, this is what you have to do for reconciliation. That's not the reconciliation he's talking about. In many ways, it involves all of that. But it's so much bigger. It's so much more broad and it's so much more specific. Think about all things for a minute. Listen to this. If all creation, visible and invisible, is Christ's, okay? All creation, it's Christ's. Think about it. It's his. Wouldn't he be interested in the impact that our activities in the kitchen, at school, in the fields, in offices, in government, social media, art galleries, arenas, hospitals, science labs, wouldn't he be interested in the impact that those activities have on his creation and on the people created in his image? I think so. So this is how you can relate. Think about your job for a minute. And if you're not working, or think about your job, your profession, and if you're not working, think about school. Think about the stage of life that you're in. Think about maybe the activities or hobbies that you like to do. Just think about it. I'll give you a practical thing on what reconciliation looks like, and then I've got six things on how this practically looks in our day-to-day. This is something you probably already are doing in some way. You'll just now be able to connect the dots between not just doing it, but doing it as a means of honoring God or bringing glory to him and saying, God, I am reflecting you, and I'm on mission with you. So think about your job, profession. Think about being, you know, the baby years, if you're with the baby years or your empty nest years or retirement, whatever stage of life you're in. Think about it. What is broken or what might be broken about your job? Don't say your boss, even though it might be it. That might be it. What's broken about your profession or what's broken or not working properly about this stage of life that you're in? Or what's maybe broken about the sports club you play in? What's broken about the activities you're involved in? Now, what might God's original purpose, how might that original purpose, how might what's broken, how might you be the reconciler in bringing God's shalom into that area? If there's conflict and gossiping, it's just backbiting at the office. Well, what might shalom look like? Is that the way a work environment's supposed to function? No, it's not very good for productivity or teamwork. So what might shalom look like in that environment? It might look like encouragement. It might look like speaking words of life. Instead of getting caught up in the complaints about the boss or the work environment or the job or the government or whatever. Here's some practical. Here we go. I'm going to give you 60. First, before we jump in, we need to look at what does reconciling look like for us. I want us to think about the characteristic. If we're royal priests, what did priests do? Well, for one thing, They had godly character. They were supposed to represent God to the people. They were also supposed to, they had certain standards of excellence in their work. There were certain ways that things needed to be done to create a holy space or to keep a holy space where they worked in the temple. There were ways that things should be done. They were ministers of God's grace and love. They enforced God's justice and truth. And through their lives, they created a certain culture that Israel, God's people, were to live by. Now, what might this look like in our everyday? I want to give you, they're called the six M's. Everyone say six M's. Six M's. These are not mine. These are by an author who does a lot of missional and marketplace ministry. His name is Mark Green. And here's the first one. Number one, model godly character. Two, make good work. Three, minister grace and love. Four, mold culture. Five, be a mouthpiece for truth and justice. And number six, be a messenger of the gospel. So here we have, let's say it, model, say it with me, model, make, minister, mold, mouthpiece, and messenger. So here we go. Let's make this practical. Godly character. What might godly character look like at work for you? What does patience look like on the job site? Or kindness look like at school? These are qualities. This is God. This is what God looks like. You don't know what God looks like? Well, good place to start. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. What does self-control look like when you're correcting an employee? This is how we model godly character. Make good work. Again in Colossians, Paul, he goes on to say, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. It is Jesus you are serving. You're not just serving a human employee or employer. You're actually, whatever your work is, whether it's the work that you're doing to get paid or the work you're doing at home or the work you're doing at this stage in life, whether you're getting paid or not, it's all working as unto Jesus. And if you've ever thought about it, have you ever experienced something where there's like incredible joy in something ordinary done with just a little bit of pizzazz? Come on. It's called, have you ever gone to a coffee shop and they make those, you get a latte or espresso and they give those funky little designs on their espresso? That's something beautiful in something ridiculously ordinary. Coffee foam. Woohoo! Or the friend, when you come over, and you know, they say, we're gonna have sandwiches, and it's not just like bologna and ketchup and bread, it's like cut in little triangles, and the crusts are even cut off. Come on, good work, it's something beautiful. What difference might it make in our work days if we committed the ordinary things to God for His glory, and asked for His help in the simple things of life? In the simple things of how can I, God, help me to represent you. Help me. I need your help in being to focus at school because it's really hard to pay attention. Ministering grace and love. How can we, it's simply caring for the person checking out your, doing your checkout at the groceries or caring for the barista or caring for somebody that seems to be on the margins. Being gracious and quick to forgive when you're wronged. Molding culture is about the way we do things. It's about smiling. How do you walk down the halls at work or at school? Do you smile? You know, one way that we can mold a culture that reflects God's kingdom, because God is a God who is very present to each and every one of us. Something simple, it would radically transform your life and your world and your relationships, putting your phone away when you're walking somewhere, waiting somewhere, sitting and simply smiling at people. Well, how can that change the world? Well, it's what Jesus did. He came and just, he smiled. He looked at people. He noticed people. He reconciled all things to himself, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice, speaking up for truth in a way that's respectful. The sixth one, being a messenger of the gospel, communicating. This is simply communicating a reason for the hope or the joy or the peace that you have or that you experience in the midst. It's Jesus. It's not just you're an excellent human being. Man, you have been through hell. How do you do it? Oh, you know, I don't know. It just happens. No, that's an opportunity. You know what? Jesus is the one who gave me strength. It's something simple like that. It's something simple as offering a biblical perspective in a conversation. Telling others the difference Jesus made. These things, this isn't a list of have-tos and things to do to make God happy. These are a lens to show us the ways that God might already be working in and through our lives. But these six things can spark ideas for how we can actually live on mission in the role that Jesus came and gave himself so that we could be reconciled to God and then carry on that mission of reconciliation. Can we stand? I'm going to invite you. Before we go in, we're going to sing this song that we sang right before the message. We're going to sing the chorus. And before we do, I want us to pray. I don't want to give an opportunity. We're going to pray a prayer of saying yes to the invitation that Jesus is holding out to you today to follow him, to receive his gift of salvation, assurance of sins forgiven, that you have been made right with him. It doesn't hinge on anything else that you do, but God gives a gift of salvation. But that salvation life isn't complete until we're walking this out and we're following Jesus and living in this reconciling ministry, carrying on being his hands, his feet, and his body. And we're going to pray online if you're watching. Maybe if you've never said yes to Jesus, can you just put your hand on your heart and just say, Jesus, thank you for your salvation. I say yes to receiving your forgiveness of my sin. And I say yes to living as your hands and feet, your heart and your mouthpiece, as part of your body, carrying out your mission in this world. Jesus, thank you for a brand new start today. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.